You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
How good is God? I love that. So good. That's a great response back. He's so good. I love it. I love the house of God. I love that we can have fun in the house of God. Do you know that you are free to have fun in church? And we learned some things along the way, too. So what a beautiful day. So y'all can just sit down, give each other a high five. Thank you, beautiful ministry team. We are spoiled. We just have the best of the best at worship this morning. I was like lost with the Emma and I, with the angels roaring. We were like, come on, so good. Speaking of that, let's give a round of applause for Pastors Drew and Emma. I personally love them. It's really fun to grow in ministry with people. It's fun if you stick around long enough, you actually get to see people come in one way, and then you get to see their life come alive in God. And it's so fun to be on the journey with people. And I've had the pleasure of doing that with Pastors Drew and Emma, and it's just so fun to see how God is just moving in their lives and who they are today. And they came in fun and awesome, but it's only gotten better. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And I can't be up here as well without giving a thanks. I know they're not here, but to Pastors Jurgen and Leanne, who started this most magnificent church. We're going to have our new location soon, South Campus, our church. So exciting. I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to get into this message. God, oh God, Lord, I just thank you that you are ever present, oh God, that you are here, Jesus. Lord, that you say in your word, where two or more are gathered, you are in our midst, so we recognize that you're here with us this morning. We rely on you. We look to you, oh God. And Lord, we thank you for divine revelation today, oh God. Lord, I thank you that you will speak through me today, oh God, that it would not be my words, but it would be yours, Jesus. And that the people that are listening, the people that are here, would be able to receive of you what you have for each and every person, oh God. Lord, we thank you that your word revolutionizes our life, oh God, because your word is life, Father. So Lord, we thank you today that today we will be liberated, set free, oh Father. And Lord, we just receive of you with all that we have. In your name I pray, amen. Yeah. Amen. All right, well, the title of my message today is called The White Picket Fence. The White Picket Fence. Now, I don't know about you guys, but growing up, right, didn't we all have those childhood dreams? Those things that we thought about, what is my life going to look like one day? And then we kind of go through part of our life, and all of a sudden we look around and we're like, yeah, looks nothing like what I thought. I had a picture in my head, and it's not that picture. And so I want to talk today from the Bible, and I believe God's going to show us and reveal to us a perspective that he has for us and how we can live the God dream now and what that looks like. But when I was growing up, when I was really little, I wanted to be a bird, which is odd because it's an animal. And also, I find it very odd, and this is how I know dreams don't come true, is that I have a very healthy fear of birds today. And I do believe it's a healthy fear. Because there were multiple times in my life where I was chased by birds, swans even. Drew and I have this in common. It's horrifying. Yeah. And I mean, I remember one time a bird coming out of a tree and literally its feathers touching my cheek. I will never forget that moment, hence my fear and hatred of all birds. Not okay. So I kind of moved on from that dream, and then you're going to get to know a little bit about me this morning. I hope that's okay. And so my next dream for my life was to be an acrobatic clown. Ask my parents. Literally, I would tell everyone, like, that's what I wanted to be when I grew up. I knew the best circus in the whole wide world was the Barnum and Bailey Circus. If you're American, the Barnum and Bailey Circus was, like, the ultimate. And I so much believed in this dream that I had my parents put me in gymnastic classes. And so I did gymnastics because I didn't want to be just any clown. Like, I needed to be an acrobatic clown. And the whole idea of the clown thing was that I was like, if I could just every day make other people, like, make them happy, and that they could be like full of joy and happy. And I thought, clowns do that. And what's better than a regular clown? An acrobatic clown. So I'm going to do that. And so I started on that journey. It came to a screeching halt when the gymnastic center where I was training decided to redo the floors, and they forgot to put in enough holes for the uneven bars. Okay, first of all, you're a gymnastic center. You should know how many holes to put in the floor. But they apparently didn't, and they decided not to redo it, that it cost too much. And so the uneven bars is like what I was good at. And that was like my best feature. So I'm like, done. It just crashes before my face. The goal, the dream of being an acrobatic clown. I know. Take a deep breath with me. I know. It's okay. Don't worry. It gets better. So then I'm going through my life, and, you know, I get saved, and I had the privilege of getting saved at a very young age, and I grew up in a Christian household in a really great family, and I was able to receive Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit from a young age, and I really just dreamed of a life where I would be able to minister to people, connect people to God, and that was the dream of my life. If you ask my parents, I have my school, you know, notebooks or whatever, are all the stories about wanting people to know Jesus more. And alongside of that dream was to have a family, you know, kids, like the whole nine yards. Like, that was kind of the dream, you know, growing up. And then one day I kind of woke up and I'm like, my gosh, my life doesn't really look like the childhood dream that I thought it was going to look like. And I don't know about you guys, but did you have in your mind, like, what did it, I'll kind of paint the picture for you. Was it, you know, the house, like the storybook house with the white picket fence, and then you had the, you know, you were married to your high school sweetheart, and then you have two children, maybe one on the way, and you've got your dog or your cat, and you've got a perfectly manicured lawn, and, you know, the husband goes off to work and makes over $100,000 without so much as breaking a sweat, and then comes back to the house and greeted with his beautiful, stunning Stepford-looking wife. And then, you know, she has, you know, the pie there, everything, you know, it's just all there. And then they go and sit out on the porch and sit on the rocking chair together, watch their children frolic in a very well-mannered way. And they sit there sipping on tea or a latte to make it modern day age. And that was that's the storybook, you know, life. That's what we expected. And then I found that some people, maybe that's their idea, that's what they grew up with. And then there's other people that I found don't have a dream at all. I was sitting at a restaurant preparing actually for this message, and I was at Urban Plates, and there was this group of people sitting next to me, and I happened to overhear their conversation, and it's really easy to overhear a conversation because you're literally seated like right next to them, right? And so I'm like, you know, preparing for the message, and I hear them talking about their dreams. And they were talking about relationships and life and what it looks like. And the one girl was saying, yeah, you know, I just really wish that I could just have like classy hookups. Like not the drunken PB ones, but just like classy hookups. And so this is kind of her dream. This is what she's talking about. And then the other girl is like, yeah, well, wouldn't you want like, you know, like a relationship or a long-term relationship? She's like, oh, no. Men don't want commitments. Yeah, men don't want long-term relationships. And I'm like, well, and I'm thinking to myself, well, you are, you know, just looking for the hookup. So, you know, kind of hard if you're looking for the hookup to go for the long-term relationship. But anyway, so I'm just sitting there trying to mind my own business, preparing for this message. And they continued to talk. And then the other woman, you know, pipes in and she's like, you know what? That just sounds so, like, that's so crazy. That's so difficult. Like, all this kind of dating that you have going on. You know, I'm married. And you know what? I think that my really sad marriage is probably better than that. I think I'll just stay in my really sad marriage. That was the conversation. And I'm thinking, my, oh my, like some people grow up with a dream and then others grow up and it's like life happens and there is no dream. And there's the delusion of, you know, a family or what that could look like. And people are left with this sadness and this hopelessness. And the best they could hope for is a hookup. I'm like, wow, how sad has the world become? We need the light and the life of Jesus. And so I began to look into scripture about this whole idea of living out our dreams and what does that look like. And I found that God has maybe a different perspective than what we have. And I began to think about Jeremiah 1:5, where and talks about how God formed each of us and how he thought of us. He knew us. He set us apart even before we were placed in our mother's womb. That means he wanted one of us. He designed us. He created us with thought, with intent. He set us apart for a reason and for a purpose. And so I began to think, wow, this God that knit us together for supernaturally and then brings us to earth has a different perspective, because he's not looking at us just for our moment on earth, but he's looking from a perspective of heaven. And I began to think, wow, God wanted a relationship with us, not just on earth, but for eternity. That he was actually, his picture for us was not just temporary earth, but what if he would take the greatest risk of all and design us with free choice, that one day on earth we would choose him. And the moment that we decided to choose him, our eternity would be reconciled. And so we would be able to be in relationship with him forever. And I began to think, looking from that perspective, I think God's idea of success on earth is a little bit different than what we might think our success is or our perfect picture. And I began to read about a God who had a totally different, I think, characteristics for our life, one full of faith and full of relationship with him. And I'm going to read a scripture, and it comes out of 1 Peter, and it's in chapter 1. And it's kind of a lengthy scripture. I'm going to read the word of God today. Is that all right? Yeah. Y'all are with me. Because I believe that Peter painted a picture of this beautiful new life that we can have. And I think Peter understood something about God and his intent, not just for temporary, but for eternity. And this is what it says. What a God we have. This is 1 Peter 1, and I'll start in 3. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. How many people know we go through some stuff? But it says this, pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. Could it be that God doesn't look at success as the white picket fence with the perfect house and the perfect family behind it, but instead he's saying in his word that it's not the gold, it's not the stuff, but it is the faith that people had in him, that is the hallmark for him, and that one day will be displayed. That's the display in heaven. That's the victory in heaven. Amazing. Says you never saw him, yet you love him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him. With laughter and singing, because you kept on believing, you'll get what you're looking for forward to, total salvation. The prophets who told us this was coming asked a lot of questions about this gift of life God was preparing. The Messiah spirit let them in on some of it, that the Messiah would experience suffering followed by glory. They clamored to know who and when, and they were told... And what they were told was that they were serving you. You who by orders from heaven have now heard for yourselves through the Holy Spirit the message of those prophecies fulfilled. Do you realize how fortunate you are? Angels would have given anything to be in on this. So roll up your sleeves. Put your mind in gear. Be totally ready to receive the gifts that's coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then. You know now, or you do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, I am holy, you be holy. You call out to God for help, and he helps. He's a good father that way. But don't forget, He's also a responsible father and won't let you get by with sloppy living. Your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood. You know, he died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. And this was no afterthought. Even though it has this for you, it's because of the sacrificed Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God, that you know you have a future in God. Now you've cleaned up your lives, and by following the truth, love one another as if your lives depended on it. I know that's a lot of scripture, but how rich is that picture? How good is our God that he designed us with eternity in mind, and that when the point where we connect with him is when our life, I believe, truly begins. And that through that perspective, that we can go on to live life not as some idealized perfection, but instead of a life of faith in developed relationship with the one who designed us. So I'm going to speak from that perspective this morning. Is everybody with me? And it's going to get good, I promise. Number one, my first point is this. Discover the God dream already placed on the inside of you. Discover the God dream already placed on the inside of you. Now, to discover the God dream means that we need to connect to our God. And so I'm going to lead us in a prayer at the end of this message for anyone that is here that may not have had the opportunity to encounter God or to make a choice and a decision to let him be Lord of your lives and to start that beautiful, wonderful relationship that we just read about. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9, the Bible says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Come on, how good is God? Believe in our head and our heart, and we will be saved. He set it up that way. And then, here's the thing about the God dream. I think that sometimes we make the God dream out to be something really super difficult, that we are like trying to figure out the very specific thing, dream, that we are supposed to be and do on earth. But I actually think that God makes things really simple and not complex. I think he makes it really simple for us. So you know what I think that the God dream for each one of us is? Wake up each day and choose to live for him. Honestly believe that. Wake up each day and choose to live for God. I think that when we do that, we can't miss our ultimate purpose. We can't miss the desire that God has for us and the dream that he has for us. He put it on the inside of us before we were ever born. So don't we think God, being this responsible father that he is he's going to lead and guide us along the way? That he doesn't just leave it up to us, that he is faithful to start what he finishes? And so I kind of believe that as we go through life, we get these holy interruptions from God. Jeremiah, you know, says that God is thinking good thoughts towards us. He's speaking good thoughts towards us all the time. So when we get a little off track or that kind of thing, God is so faithful to go, no, step back over here. No, this is what I have for you. He speaks in all different ways to us to get through to us. We don't have to worry. It's not some horrible tightrope that we are on. And that if we step to the left or to the right, well, then it's just game over. I don't think God sets it up that way, because he set it up as a divine relationship with him. And so I kind of think, you know, I think about Moses and the burning bush. Like, God had to do a lot to get Moses' attention. So he put a bush on fire and spoke out of it. Like, okay. Like, he'll do what he needs to do to get the message to us. And then I think about Joseph and how he went to sleep at night and he dreamed these dreams and he knew they were from God. He can even speak to us in our dreams. I think about Esther and how her uncle Mordecai spoke to her about what was she to do and that she was here for such a time as this. And so she was encouraged and she went forth in her destiny, that God can use people that surround us to speak in the things that we need to be spoken into about. Does that make sense? So instead of us thinking about this God dream and trying to make some big, huge, incredible thing come to pass, if we could just wake up each day and live and choose to live for him, that we will walk straight into our destiny. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't dream the dreams or have the goals, and God gives us all these wonderful, beautiful promises. I absolutely believe that is true. But I think that in order to get to those dreams, in order to get to those realities, the way we do it is by living out each day for him. And then we can't miss it. So it's really not about the what, as it's more about the how. Honestly, as I've gotten older, I honestly believe that. And we saw in the Word of God that it's not the gold that was on display. It was the how-to. It was the faith that we had. And so I think it's so much more about how we have this relationship with God and how we navigate this earth, much more than the result or the end result of what it produces. Does that make sense? Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, when Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. I just love that. So point number two is this: live by faith, not perfection. Live by faith and not perfection. You know, God knew this before time. He knew that we weren't, and that we can't live a life that is so right, that we obey every single law and every single thing that is happening. In fact, it's interesting. We have an Old Testament and a New Testament that Jesus was sent to abolish the old law. It didn't work. People can't obtain perfection. And so he sent Jesus to go, yeah, we're doing away with the law, and we're creating by him dying on a cross for our sins. He's reconciling once and for all that it's not about our works. It's not about the laws. It's not about being whipped harder. It's all about the relationship that we have with him. And so why do we sometimes then put on ourselves this idea of perfection? We don't allow ourselves to step out and challenge ourselves to fail once in a while or do those things because we're so worried about everything being okay and being right. And we leave a protected life and seemingly almost sometimes behind the bars that we create ourselves that Jesus never put there for us. He liberated us. And I think about my own life when I was in college. I can remember, I don't even know how it happened because I grew up in a family that, you know, was Christian, that wasn't restrictive, you know, at all, that wasn't legalistic or bound by religion. And yet I found in my college days, I was like, oh my gosh, I just want to live right. I want to just be so careful to live right in the will of God. And I got so consumed with this idea of the will of God. And I found that God was like, no, no, no. Life should look like Disneyland. Yeah. Life is a big playground that I've designed and created for you, and I'm going to help you navigate it. That it's not so much the balance beam, and that if you go to the right or to the left, that you're going to fall off, but instead, it's about the voice that you listen to that leads and that guides you. There is an entire chapter of the Bible that is dedicated to the hall. They call it the Hall of Fame, also known as the Hall of Faith. There is not an entire chapter of the Bible that I could find that is dedicated to works. This is all the things that people did. I don't see that in the Bible. I see a chapter that says that it is the hall of faith, that what God deems as fame is actually faith. Faith in him. And listen, I'm going to read out just a little bit of it. I've got the whole chapter, and on your own time, read the chapter. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to read just some bits of it to understand what is it that God sees as the pinnacle of our life, and it's faith, not works. And we need both. We need action, but it's about the faith that we have. Now, this is what it says. Now, faith is confidence in this, what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. How cool is that? And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, and holy fear, built an ark to save his family. It goes on and on and on. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going, as we heard beautifully preached last week. And yet by faith, he went. By faith, Sarah, past childbearing years, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. All these people, it says in verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things they were promised. Oh my goodness. So some of these people, each one of these that mentioned, didn't receive the promise, and yet they died with faith in their bones. It says this, they did not receive things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It goes on and on and on. These people lived with a faith in Jesus, so much so that even the outcome, even the promise, they knew that one day in heaven, they would be whole, that all the that everything would come together. But until that time, they would live out their life in relationship and in faith with him. Wow. So good. It says in verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. God gave me this picture. And can everybody just say, we are better together? We are better together. Could it be that God designed and created imperfect people that wouldn't necessarily have the perfect picture for their lives, but they would be a bunch of imperfect people that one day on the other side of earth, in heaven, we would be able to see the one picture. All the imperfect pictures put together makes one beautiful picture. Like threads, each one of our lives, like each of our life is a thread and woven together creates the most magnificent, the most beautiful tapestry that God thought about before he ever designed and created each one of us to fulfill. Doesn't that liberate you? Doesn't that take the pressure off that I don't have to live some perfect life to be part of a perfect story? So awesome. You know, I call this message the white picket fence. Because I believe we do have a fence around our lives. I do believe there is a fence that we can lean on in times of trouble. I do believe that we have a fence that doesn't keep us bound but prevents us from harm. I believe we've got a fence that guides us and that leads us. That fence is the Holy Spirit. My third point, the white picket fence is the Holy Spirit. How do we live this God-conscious, God-dream now? We do it through and with the Holy Spirit. God is so faithful to us. He doesn't have us just do this life alone. In the book of Acts, if you read on your own time, it talks about how Jesus was ascending to heaven, and he said, it is better that I go. It's better that I go because I am sending to you the Holy Spirit, the one that will guide you into all truth. All peace. How amazing is that, that God gives us the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us. I believe we absolutely have a white picket fence, and his name is the Holy Spirit. We get to lean into the Holy Spirit so that when we are doing this life, we don't do it alone. He tells us when to push forward, when to pull back, when to go to this side, when to go to that side. So it's all about having his voice be the loudest voice in our world. So that we choose wisely each and every day. I don't think there was so much of this perfect balance world that we kind of think about. I don't think it exists. I really don't. I think the perfect balance life is that the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us. And I think that each of our lives look very different. So people might look at my life, and I've had it said a lot of times before, like, Stacy, man, your life seems crazy. You're like full on. You're always out doing this and that, and you're ministering the church, and you're with people all the time. And when's it going to be your turn? Like, what's for? And I'm like, oh, my goodness. If I sat back and just listened to those things, I might be sitting on a porch sipping tea watching my life pass by. But instead, I made a decision that each, you know, my life may look completely different to the life next to me, but it's the life that I've been called to. It's the life that the Holy Spirit revealed to me to do. And it's different to yours. So get really good with getting to know your God. Get really good with knowing the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, because he will lead you to your truth. He will lead you to your God dream. And it looks different than it does mine. But we got to get really good about being confident on what God placed on the inside of us. And I believe that when we do that, and don't get me wrong, there are times when we need the voice of wisdom and we need people to tell us, hey, look, you know, but God uses that too. Yeah. And so I honestly believe that we can live the God dream now as we navigate life with the Holy Spirit. My last point is this. Point number four, choose him. Choose him. How awesome that God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross, that we can believe in our head and our hearts that there is a Father God who sent his son Jesus to die for us, and then we are able to receive the Holy Spirit. I honestly believe there's head and there's heart, but there's also an opportunity to receive. And how beautiful is that we get to receive the Holy Spirit in our life that can illuminate to us what our life is meant to look like. I've made a decision, a free will choice, and here's the thing. How beautiful that God set it up that way, that he set it up that we would have a free will. He risked everything for the possibility that we would choose him. And God does not violate that. He speaks with his voice, he leads and he guides, but ultimately the choice is up to us. Do you know that even the devil cannot violate free will? So when people sometimes say, oh, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He can't violate free choice. God doesn't even violate free choice. And we know that God has a whole lot more power than the devil has. Does the devil mess with us? Does he speak things to us? Does he oppress? Does he try to bring torment? Absolutely. But I honestly believe the bigger torment is living between the two voices. That God is speaking to us which way to go. And there's another voice, a voice of darkness, manipulating truth, trying to get us to believe another way. And so when we give ourselves over to darkness, it creates torment in our life because we've received Jesus. It's not meant to be there. So God created a beautiful bridge called forgiveness. That when we do step out of the lines, when we do listen to that voice of darkness, that we can just come back to our Savior and we can be forgiven. And the Bible says he remembers our sins no more. And then he leaves us with a free will choice, our own voice. We wake up each day and we have an opportunity to choose him, to make that voice the loudest voice that is in our head. So we have these three voices, but it's us who chooses who's going to have the say in the end. Romans 8, 5 through 6 says this, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind God governed by flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You know what's really cool? Is my life didn't turn out how I thought it was going to. All the pieces to the puzzle are not yet there. Do I have currently unfulfilled promises and dreams? Absolutely. Do I have faith to believe that those things will come to pass? Absolutely. But here's the deal. I have decided, I have made a choice in my life that I will choose him regardless of what the result looks like. And you know what has happened in making that choice? I have joy that is insane. Like I want people, man, if they could peek through my eyes or through my heart, I would want them to see how I see the world. Like I am so in love with Jesus and I so love him that there is a joy that is produced. And you know, that's a biblical principle because when we live by the Holy Spirit, it says this, that there are fruits of the Spirit. Do you know what those fruits are? Joy, peace, patience, self-control. Those are fruits of the Spirit. When we live a life in tune with the Spirit who gives life, the fruit that follows is joy and peace and wonderful and beautiful. And so even when our idealized perfection doesn't come about, or we don't see it yet, we can still live with a total faith, hope, and love in Jesus, and it's better than we could have ever imagined. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 15:58 in the Message version, "Stand your ground and don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time." It says in NIV, "Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." You see, when you get this perspective, you begin to realize everything that I'm living for today, one day in eternity, there is a beautiful place called heaven. And in that place, there is a perfect picture. There is a place where there are no tears, where joy is all the time, where we are ever present with our Savior, where His will happens all the time in heaven. It's a beautiful place. But while we're still on earth, can we not live from that perspective that our eternity has been reconciled and that beautiful health and wholeness we will one day have? But for right now, we're going to choose to live each day for Him. Could I get everybody to close their eyes and bow their heads? The Holy Spirit is our white picket fence. We've got a God in heaven who loves us, who desires of us, a God who brings peace in the midst of what may look like chaos. When we face certain decisions and life seemingly happens to us, there is suffering and there is pain, yet there is joy and there is happiness. But God is the great equalizer. The Holy Spirit ministers to each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit leads and guides us. We have a living God on the inside of us when we choose to receive Him and choose to live for Him. And then we get to live this life of faith and hope every single day. Oh, I know right now, and I can feel and sense the presence of God in this place. He's already ministering deep on the inside of your hearts. And some of you may experience some pain. Life might not have treated you well, but your Savior, your God, is calling to you. He's speaking good thoughts towards you. He wants a relationship with you that doesn't just last now, but for all of eternity. So if you're here and you're in that place and you haven't made a decision, you hadn't made a choice yet to receive this Jesus, to receive the Holy Spirit, to make a decision to make Him Lord over your life, to start your future now. If that's you in this place, then you want to make that choice, that you want to experience a relationship with Him, can you just raise your hand up nice and high for me? Just raise that hand up nice and high. I see that hand. Wonderful. Up in the back there, I see that hand. Who else here this morning? Maybe it's not a first-time decision, but maybe today you're renewing that choice to live for Him. Maybe we've gotten caught up with the voice that has manipulated and distorted and tried to prevent us from the true voice of God who loves us and who brings peace to us. Or maybe like me, you know, there just came a point where you're like, man, I'm walking a tightrope when I really should have been walking and living in this beautiful world that God designed for me, a world full of liberation. If that's you today, can you raise up your hand too? And I'm just going to pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I am going to ask you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you and renew that decision to make Jesus.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.